Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview.
Okay, so welcome back to the Pandemic Sensory Archive. Today we've got Jazz Brooks with us, and I'll just start the questions. So if you'd like to start by just giving us a sense of what you do, who you are, and what your kind of expertise is when it comes to smell.
Yeah, so I'm a doctoral researcher focused on usually human-computer interaction. So that's specifically computer interfaces, in this case, that modulate our sense of like our chemosensation, so our smell, taste, chemesthesis. And my prior work has focused on things like producing temperature illusions through our sense of our trigeminal nerve, as well as our sense of smell, as well as doing things like reproducing stereo smell sensations via electrical stimulation of the nose. And in addition to this kind of focus on computer interfaces, I've been doing work on, I guess, curating series related to film with smell or video games with smell, and looking at history of like smell-o-vision / aromarama.
And I think you've also been kind of producing a kind of an archive, or at least a list of scratch and sniff books as well.
Yes. So in collaboration with the Institute for Ear and Olfaction, I received funding to produce a database of scratch and sniff books that date from 1971, I want to say, all the way to 2021. And it's a set of 100 books where I basically look at what odors there are, what pages they appear on, how many pages, to start looking at this as, I guess, a very valid form of artwork, or to help people that are potentially blind and visually impaired engage with either their children or their parents, for example, in this other sense.
So in terms of the kind of research work that you do, in terms of kind of bringing together the chemosenses and technology in various guises, what would how would you describe your kind of normal work? Like, what does your research look like? What kind of things do you do in the course of your research kind of before the pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, before the pandemic, when I was in the lab itself, I'd have like basically a bunch of aroma chemicals in the lab, or flavoring agents or modulators or what have you. And essentially testing things out, putting like on a VR headset or asking collaborators to sit down and experience something so that I can get an idea, like pilots essentially. And for the most recent paper, for example, there was a lot of hours spent in the lab with electrodes in my nose, just kind of sitting there experiencing what sensations I can get, what feelings I actually felt, and testing it with friends and other researchers so that I can actually get an idea of what I should be pinpointing on for our first paper.
So it's quite sort of hands-on work, really. I mean, it involves a lot of sitting down and experimenting with smells, in a sense.
Absolutely. I think it's critical because it's something that we're basically doing something that's very experiential. We can't necessarily just theorize that it's working. We actually have to validate within people that they can feel these things, or what they even feel in some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think, in terms of thinking now, in terms of what's been happening during the pandemic, given that there's a kind of reliance on the experience and the kind of evidence of the nose and the other senses in your work, you know, what's it been like trying to do research during the pandemic in your field?
Yeah, it's been an interesting experience. Usually with all the research that I'm doing, we have people come into the lab directly to experience things. And so one of the research projects that we've been exploring pivoted away from that usual structure of like in lab to I guess I don't know what the term is exactly, but probably like field research, where we, for example, in one project that I did during quarantine, mailed people entire kits of things to actually experience, though that's still in the pipeline for publishing. So that was an interesting change from our usual structure.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, as you say, you're kind of taking things out of the lab. And I suppose if you're taking things out of the lab, then it's kind of difficult for you to control, the other smells or other kind of sensory stimuli that might be in a space. So, I mean, is that kind of a problem for the work that you do? Or do you think that hasn't been a problem in the pandemic, kind of getting people to smell stuff from afar in their own homes or their own spaces?
Yeah, I think it hasn't been much of an issue. If anything, at least with that project where we mailed things, that became kind of a point of like a point that we could leverage, or people tried to leverage essentially, which was trying to think about how they interacted with their existing built environment. The difficulty that probably came out of this is the limitations of what you could actually send. So it would be much harder for us to send, for example, a stimulation device, because if anything goes wrong, then it kind of the study ends there. Whereas simpler things, we could potentially like send them another set of things, or something really quick and easy, or they can supplement, or they can fix it on their own, for example. So that usability, I guess, becomes an issue, which is not usually something that I touch on in my research, but in this context becomes something very important.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess it's kind of, in a way, making the best of the circumstances because the circumstances actually offer you new research questions to ask, in a sense, or are directing your research in new ways simply because you're having to deal with the circumstances that you've been given.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that more generally then, and actually thinking, I think, I guess, about our relationship between sort of our noses and smell and technology. Do you think that the pandemic has kind of has shifted our relationship with smell? Do you think that in the research that you've been doing, there's been a sense in which, the people you've been sending stuff to, for example, they've been engaging with smell differently because of the pandemic? Or do you think it's kind of not really changed?
I think there's definitely something like a cultural shift, at least in Western culture, because I can mostly speak to like American news and things like this. And you've probably also noticed this as well, which is things like newspaper articles, things like that are actually discussing smell. What I do notice, at least from like anecdotal discussions with people that are either in studies or friends and family, is that there seems to be this weird situation where, since we're, or at least while we're in quarantine, it's kind of opening up in America, which is going to be an interesting experience for this, is that during quarantine, people kind of got used to the environment that they were in, at least like their olfactory landscape, I guess. And I'm generally curious if, when they exit their house again, if olfactory experiences will become like stronger or more noticeable, in part because of that. Maybe like a craving to experience different things. I know that there's a lot of people that, for example, are doing things like Zoom events with friends where they were eating the same thing to kind of have a feeling of proximity with a shared experience that's like olfactory and gustatory, which is kind of an interesting one. But yeah.
Yeah, that is an interesting one, isn't it? Because I guess that's something that we have really kind of missed in the pandemic is that experience of commensality and eating and drinking and tasting and smelling with friends. And I think obviously in the fragrance world and in people who work with smell and museums, I guess, have been doing things where they've sent stuff out for people to smell so that they can kind of share in a smelling experience at the same time. And I guess I hadn't really, I've kind of shared meals with people on Zoom, but I guess I hadn't really thought about it as a way of sharing my tasting or smelling experience with other people, just by eating with other people on Zoom. I think it's a really interesting angle that that maybe I hadn't thought about before. In terms of, you know, the work that you do, and sort of the, you know, sticking electrodes to yourself and so on and so forth, do you think that some of the kind of technology that you're developing and working on as a result of that will, you know, help us in a kind of post-pandemic or indeed in the pandemic world to deal with some of the issues that it's raised around smell?
I guess one of the hopes with the electrode one, or like the electrical stimulation, is potentially its use case in things like anosmia or hyposmia, that does have relevance in COVID situations. But that does require more research, because what we all did right now was validate that we can actually produce sensations, like a subsection of smell sensations, right? We can't produce all of them. And there seems to be some interest in like anosmic communities in that as a potential like route for an assistive technology. But that does require actually then going out and experimenting with anosmic populations, which is what we're going to be doing soon. I guess in a more broader vision, I'm kind of curious about these technologies less as a means of simply reproducing odors and also modifying how we interact with odors in our everyday lives, potentially to either give more focus to them or maybe produce more trust in our own sense of smell and things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading a late 19th century periodical the other day in which somebody had written a poem about an illustration that they had seen in the same magazine of what essentially was a smell telescope that would allow you to kind of heighten certain smells or lessen the power of certain smells. And I guess, you know, those kinds of technologies have always been a kind of fantasy, but, you know, and actually this is a kind of really under-researched field, right? I mean, I guess that's one of the issues here, but it sounds to me like, you know, COVID is providing perhaps some of the interest and funding, but also obviously populations of people who have altered noses now as a result of COVID, where you can actually do some of this work where you wouldn't have been able to do it before.
Yeah, I would entirely agree with that. It's been such a weird situation on that end. It's also just like the response to like the research projects that I've been doing have been all published during quarantine, which has been an interesting experience, because I think I don't know if it's generated because of the COVID experience and people being like at home or things like that, but there's at least intrigue in the possibility of smell technologies that I don't think has been, like, at least the way it's been discussed hasn't been as negative as like prior discussions of it, like with DigiSense or Smell-O-Vision or Aromarama.
I'm thinking back to, there was an April Fool's Day not many years ago where Google did this idea that you would be able to search by smell as if it was some kind of, you know, crazy joke. But I think, as you say, perhaps in some ways the pandemic is transforming our attitude to smell now and kind of causing people to take it both more seriously and also see it more positively, which can only be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, and I think those people are also, because it's not only long-term people with anosmia, there's also people that have recovered their sense of smell after having COVID, and I think that's like a population that's also very interesting, because oftentimes I think culturally we don't really value smell until we lose it, is what I've noticed in a lot of people. But it's there's been more people that are kind of like saying that they've been thinking about odors around me, at least. I don't know if it's just me talking about these things with them, though. I could be biasing them.
That's true. Because we're so obsessed with the senses and with smell, we're probably, we're just bringing it up all the time, whereas we think everybody else wants to talk about it, but actually they'd rather we just shut up and go away. Well, thank you. It's been a really fantastic discussion, really interesting. And I think, you know, I'm particularly taken with this idea that we can try and experience some kind of sensus communis around taste and smell, even though we might be communicating by Zoom, that idea of kind of eating and smelling things together. And it would be interesting to see if there are kind of new technologies in that area that come about as a result of a reaction to the pandemic. But thank you again, and looking forward to seeing where your research takes you next and kind of the work that you're doing with anosmic patients, for example.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.